Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here today with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls right after this. 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call. 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position. But
there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and so glad you've decided to join us today with Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Star poster child for AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I'd love to see Mylon's basal ganglia, those gas pedals in his brain. I'm not showing you my
basal ganglia.
And the voice you hear there, Dr. Sherry Denham.
Oh,
hey,
hello.
Sherry.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great here. Now, what do you think Mylon's basal ganglia would look like?
Well, it shrunk, first of all, from like 20 years ago to now. I'm sure.
Well, it's probably better. But you were like, you said on one of the shows that you pop Excedrin when you even think you're going to get a headache. And I'm like, that, you know, headaches are one of the symptoms that come with overactive basal ganglia. So, you know, I have no idea, but I would love to see yours. Give them a little love. You know, they probably look like little footballs in your brain there.
And what is the value of seeing a picture of your brain?
Well, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right, isn't it? So once you can kind of see what's going on in your brain, then you can kind of make the adjustments to make it better. Because, you know, change your brain and your life can be better. And so quieter basal ganglia that look like little peas rather than footballs, you know, are much healthier ganglia.
How do you quiet them down?
Actually there's lots of things you can do to quiet them down. I mean, some of it is just it's releasing. Some of that is actually like taking long walks on the beach or doing things that are more restful, because someone that has high basal ganglia are more anxious people. So whatever it is that helps people kind of quiet down and calm themselves down, walks on the beach, maybe conversations with people that are soothing, listening to music, offloading some of the issues in your life, getting rid of some of the stressors, because it's the basal ganglia are stress bound, right?
So it's the opposite of the gang. If you want to help the ganglia, it's the opposite of the gang. Be alone.
Well, yeah, but you could have, if you're frightened of being alone, then they could be on high too.
Well,
which comes first? These here ganglia you're talking about, or is it? Is it the ganglia grow
or the event?
In the midst of anxiety.
That's a great question. I mean, some of us are born because we come from genetics with people, you know, born with families that had active, just like our noses and our elbows and our eyes and ears are like our families. We forget that our brains carry traits as well. Yeah. But like you had talked about, Steve, you and Dave have been talking about that little switch that you can turn on and off. There's things that we can do in our life right now that can help change our lives and our brain chemistry for the generations going forward. So what Mylon's doing right now in his life, Mylon and Kay, you guys have addressed your issues. So you are actually, your kids, I'm sure, much less anxious than you are. And thereby going forward, you start doing the right things to take care of yourself. And then you send that message down generationally. You have healthier people, healthier babies, right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
I would hope so. Lord willing.
Well, and for younger people, before you conceive, if you set out to do the opposite of the direction that your family tree has been headed, you can flip those little switches off in there, and you can literally change the family tree forever. You can be the transitional generation. It's pretty exciting.
It is. It's hopeful.
Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. 1-800-NEWLIE if you need some help.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling us from Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to New Life. How are you today?
Okay. Thanks for taking the call. I have a complicated story, but I want to ask a question about my son. He's 20. He's in his early 20s. He has mental illness as well as sexual addiction. And I separated from my husband a year ago because of domestic violence and sexual addiction. He is a pastor part-time, a chaplain part-time, and a teacher part-time, and it was very difficult to leave because of my son being there still, our son. Now,
so
oddly
your
enough...
Your son is with your husband still?
Yes. And oddly enough, he's willing to get help for the sexual addiction and went to a support group for about 6 months, and then his psychosis kind of got out of control, and he got all mixed up. But he started to go back to the support group. It's a Christian support group for the sexual addiction.
Okay.
But my question is, I go to SA in a Christian support group for myself. But our son is even though he's 22, you know, early 20s, he was sexually abused himself, and I'm trying to get him into counseling. He just started again to work on the sexual abuse, but he's very resistant to talking about it. He only told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
His coach's son abused him when he was 7. And that's what I know about. But with the complication of the mental illness and the domestic violence, he's very, very troubled. And I understand that.
Sure.
I am too. But my husband's unwilling to get help. Absolutely will not. We went to marriage counseling for many years, and then when they saw how complicated it was, they recommended we do separate counseling for a while, and he won't go. He just is in complete denial.
How does he get to be pastor
still? He's ordering magazines at the house in my
name. How does he get to be pastor and be a sex addict? Is it that you haven't shared this with anybody?
Oh, no, he's not full-time. He does vacancy, and he works as a chaplain part-time. Trying to deal with him, but that's all. He's very we've been trying to have an appointment, but something keeps happening. He's going to call him on it, but
The question for us then? What is the question for us?
My question is, do you have any more suggestions about our son, Ben, when somebody has those many issues? I mean, it's very complicated, like even finding a place for him to live, not with my husband.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
It's complicated.
What's the mental illness, Lisa?
Psychosis.
Psychosis. So,
yeah.
Psychosis. That sounds really broad, I guess, psychosis.
I know. He's so complicated. The last time he just got out of the hospital 2 weeks ago, the doctor said he's the hardest patient he has ever had in his life.
And sometimes, Lisa, we say that people have mental illness and we sort of start and stop with that definition. The reality is that your son has been traumatized over and over and over and over.
And I think that is very real, and I can't, like, he's resistant to talking about it. I got him to a good counselor, but he, he keeps evading the issue.
Well, but you see, people who have been abused and hurt over and over do not know how to enter into a relationship that's truthful. That's not
right.
going to be their starting point. They've been hiding, just like Adam and Eve, they've been hiding yeah. fearfully in shame and covering up for
right.
these many years.
I understand.
And when
yeah.
we cover up abuse and we don't address it, then it leaks out sideways, and
right.
we end up with definitions like psychosis or various personality disorders, et cetera. And really, you're on a track. Your goals are to get him independent from your husband, to get yourself independent from your husband. If there is physical abuse, you need to report it to the authorities, and you need to create a paper trail. You need to create legal protection for yourself, which could include a separation so that you have finances and reserves to work with. And then you need to help your son get in with somebody that can simply sit down with him and explain to him that based upon this level of trauma he has endured and this abuse, misuse, and molestation, that he's not a crazy guy. He is just a guy who is the result of being hurt a lot, and does he want to work on it or not? And it's that kind of an approach, and I think Sherry and Steve would probably agree. This is, you have to establish a starting point with him where he's safe, and you have to, I sense in you that you are feel victimized by this husband as well, and you must get yourself out of his clutches as well. Sherry, Steve?
Well, I want to do something. I've got Jason Martinkus on the line, who runs our Everyman's Battle workshops. And Jason, here's a woman who, she's got a husband who's a sex addict, and the son is just in real trouble due to trauma. I just wanted to see if you wanted to weigh in on this at all.
Boy, tough situation from what I've heard. I didn't hear the whole story, but the part I heard sounds really devastating.
Hmm.
So I'm sorry for her, first of all, that she has to endure this. I think the last advice that I just heard, who was that? Was that Mylan?
Yes, our wise Mylan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what Mylan said is really resonates with me. She has to go through a very deliberate process to remove herself, as he said, from his clutches.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that protective work of moving her son out of there as well, and leave the ball in his court to decide whether he wants to get help. This is for the husband. It's really up to him, and all she can do now is move into a space of protection so that he doesn't do any more further damage to him, to his son, or to her.
Okay, that sounds really good. All right, well, I wish we had better help. The therapist said he was the toughest case. This is one of our toughest calls to know how to help someone in this particular situation.
Well, and I Steve, I think I would flow along where Mylan was going, is psychosis. Sometimes the diagnosis is so broad that people don't know where to go. But I think Mylan hit the nail on the head. It's trauma.
Yeah.
And I just would suggest to her to kind of look into possibly EMDR, but I would send her to a consultant, and I can chat with her offline after the show, but to a consultant level, somebody that is a master level in that field, because there is a lot of issues going on, but somebody who's trained in that specific kind of sexual abuse trauma with a kid that has those kind of things going on will be a breath of fresh air to her in this world. You know, is everything swirling? She really needs the right support, not just general support. So,
and yep. A lot of it is how you frame it to the patient or the client, because she used the word, "Well, my son has mental illness," and that is a downer just to start there. But if you say, you know what, son, you are just like anybody else who has been severely traumatized. You are suffering all of the predictable, logical things that we see in people. And you know what? There's healing from this place. You
That's
were
right.
abused, hurt, and traumatized. Instead of the branding of mental
You're
illness,
so right, Mylan.
You then say, okay, you can extricate yourself from this. You can move out of this, and do you want that? And I would also take the sexual issue of sexual pornography and really view that as he probably uses sexual pornography as a medication to make all the pain go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people do with sex, and a lot of things in the church are kind of approached in the wrong direction. I think we go, shame on you, and yet we ought to be asking, why do you turn to that? What pain in your life is causing you to turn to the alcohol, the pornography, the drugs? And let's address the pain, because if you do that, then the mood, changers, the mood altering devices go away.
Right.
You know, another question rather than to just the shame on you thing is to ask, okay, where did it start to go wrong?
Yeah, that's a great
question,
Steve.
Let's talk about where it was that first magazine came from and how did it make you feel and what was going on in your family that you didn't just rush right up to Dad and Mom and say, wow, I've found something I shouldn't have found.
Well, and in this case, Steve, as she had mentioned too, there was a coach who sexually abused her son. I know, yeah. So you've got breach of trust and all that. Mm. I can't trust anyone. As often those that I work with that have been sexually abused, that's one of their beliefs, is I can't trust anyone. So you got a kid like that whose dad is, you know, not being integrous either. You know, he's right. Like a frightened little, you know, frightened little puppy, you know, just stay away from me. I want to bite you, you know.
And you would wonder what's real. And that's what psychosis is. It's a break with reality. So when you're in this frightened, traumatic state, you do wonder what's real. And so you could say, well, they're psychotic. But I think so many times we have to say, you know, if a person doesn't have a place to ever share, one of Kay's great lines is what's shareable is bearable. And, you know, if we don't have a place to share, then it leaks out in other directions. And that's where we have to do our work.
All right. Well, I tell you, I hope and pray something we've said is helpful, and we need to make sure that coach isn't victimizing other.
Was it the coach or the coach's son?
No, she said the coach.
Well, one way or the other, we need to take care of that.
Yeah,
and
make sure that call is
not
made.
Continuing
right,
to happen.
CPS.
All right. Let's. Jason, can you hold on a minute, or did you want to just talk to us about your next New Life meeting that's coming up, the Everyman's Battle meeting?
Next Everyman's Battle coming up. I think the next one's going to be in Los Angeles in June.
Great.
And
wonderful.
You know, I'll piggyback real quick on one thing that Mylon just said. What is shareable is bearable. That's some of the main feedback that I got this weekend from the Everyman's Battle. I had a guy say, you know, the information was good, the information was helpful, but sitting in that room with seven other guys who understood me, who actually got it, is what made the transformation for me.
Absolutely.
So true.
All right, Jason, thank you so much for being with us, and I just want you to encourage somebody that's thinking, well, maybe my husband isn't so bad that he needs to go. What do you say to that woman?
I say the rest of your life and relationship depends on it, that he could learn something there that flips the switch, that really catapults him into becoming the hero and sort of that knight in shining armor that you've always been looking for.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Jason. God bless you there.
Thank you.
It is Every Man's Battle, and you can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Thousands and thousands of men have found sexual integrity. And it's just absolutely amazing when you go from having the guilt and the shame to feeling good about yourself because you had a day of sexual integrity. Let's talk with Erica from Woodland Hills, California. Hello, Erica.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How are you?
I think I've been better, but I just have a question and a very complicated backstory to it. So I would start with my question. How do I leave a 7-year-old stepdaughter behind in a toxic home? I was married. Well, I am still married. I moved out a month ago from my home, which I shared with my husband of almost 6 years.
Why did you move?
I just needed to save myself. After 6 years of marriage counseling and 7 years of Al-Anon, and my husband's final, how should I put it? He tried
episode?
To commit suicide last August, and he had a new diagnosis of borderline personality disorder on top of his depression and PTSD.
Okay.
And we had some serious ups and downs, and I couldn't take it any longer. I thought that maybe by moving out, I would shake him up a little bit, which our therapist doesn't think is happening, and that certainly is the case right now. But long story short, my stepdaughter was placed with us only a year and a half ago because of a child protective case, against her mom.
Really?
And we got my daughter because of me, not because of my husband, because the social services knew that he was ill, but he wasn't as ill as he is now when we first received her. And
so is she living with him now and you're not living with them?
That's correct.
And you say that the only reason that she was given to the two of you was because of you?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Do
and
you
so
worry
I'm
about
just really
her?
I'm wondering. I already explored my legal options, and I have none. So other than offering her over to God every single morning for protection, I don't know what else to do.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll try to give you some help right after this, okay? You're listening to New Life Live, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's help available both places. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Erica. Her stepdaughter was given to her and her husband because of her, and now she's left, and the stepdaughter is there with him. And there's worry over that. I'm certainly worried over it. So, Mylan, what do you think? Or Sherry, what do you think?
Well, I just was sitting here chatting with Mylan saying, you know, Erica, my heart is heavy for you. I pictured some of the images we saw during Katrina, you know, when the waters were rising up on the building. And it's like this, when you said I needed to save myself, I just pictured this helicopter coming down and you reaching your arm up. There's a, you know, a ladder of sorts, and you've got your stepdaughter there, and you're reaching up. You grab the ladder, and the helicopter pulls you up, and you're going further and further away from her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh, the tremendous fear, the guilt, wondering how to get her help. I mean, is she safe with her dad? He sounds toxic with you. Is he toxic with her?
I am praying that he's not. I've been in touch with her teacher because I volunteered at her school as well, and I was totally cut off. I'm not even allowed to talk to her. So I've been in touch with people around her, and she's doing okay. She's making it to school. However, she's just not seen playing outside, which is what I've done with her. But my husband has also cluster headaches, chronic cluster headaches, for which he takes morphine. So he's often in a lot of pain, and he doesn't go outside.
Have you talked to CPS and told them your concerns?
I have spoken with a retired CPS worker and also with our social worker.
And what have they said?
Unfortunately, until there is neglect or serious abuse, they won't do anything.
Right. All right.
And that is me. That is perhaps the way you may be able to help this child is by being vigilant to watch and observe these patterns of behavior, because you're right, you don't have any legal recourse as a step-parent. But I would also suggest that it would be important for you to, as long as you're separated, that you do it formally. Now, have you done a formal separation from this person?
Not yet. I mean, I just met an attorney last week.
Okay, so with a formal separation, then there will be some intervention into the home. You could even ask the question, you know, I'm a stepmother to this child. The biological mother is unsafe and has been rendered, you know, determined that. This husband is also unsafe as well. I would watch for these patterns of addictions, neglect, misuse, or maltreatment. And so that you can stay on the alert and perhaps call, because when you do that, then perhaps you could be even a foster parent to her. And I think that would be something that you want to watch and look for. Now, what bonding do you have with her? You must have some bonding to her.
She called me mom from the day I brought her home.
Okay. Yeah. So that's very important then, that you look for opportunities and you do everything you can to protect yourself and the daughter. And even I would do everything I could to even, I know this is precarious, but to try and get a message to the daughter that you're watching.
I tried, and oh my God, the emails I got after that was insane.
Well, I know, because when he devalues you as a borderline, when he takes you to you're all bad and you said I was cut off, that means you're all bad and there's nothing of any worth and value that from this point on in his mind.
And he may be out to punish you.
Right.
Oh, he is. He has threatened me with everything that you can imagine.
Right. So I just keep your eyes open and be that little girl's advocate, because I don't think she has anybody. And I would, as Sherry said, I would contact CPS and establish a dialogue with him already.
Okay. And see if part of the agreement, the separation agreement, there can be visitation written into that, legal, that you could ask for legal recourse to have, you know, a relationship with her.
That's why.
Unfortunately, he needs to agree to that. And because I'm all bad right now, I don't know if even through legal channels, if I can force his hand.
Well, you contact that attorney, and you ask every question we're posing here, and then you find yourself in a position where you are watching that girl, and you're looking for opportunities to be an advocate.
And maybe her having an attorney will help you. The child's attorney may be able to fight for you in that as well, right?
Okay.
Because they're going to be looking out for her best interest.
And would it be wise if she were to set some, maybe some parameters under which she would go back to the house? She would say,
Steve, may I just interject here something? I actually, after my husband's suicide attempt last year, I had to remove the guns from the house, and he replaced them with knives. So the reason I moved out is because I slept on the couch for 5 months because he decided to sleep with knives.
Okay.
See, that kind of stuff, Erica, sweetheart, that kind of stuff, I go, that is stuff CPS needs to know. You got a guy, his husband who's suicidal, who's sleeping with knives. Now, if I was a CPS worker, that my bells and whistles would be going off.
Okay.
Somebody needs to do that. The child's attorney needs to do that. So don't stop the battle, girl.
Okay.
You're on a good path.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your common sense needs pay attention to it. Because and let somebody else know so that you're not in the dark. And I don't want to read about this in the LA Times this week. Okay, so what you need to do is, like Sherry said, the bells and whistles need to be going off. This is a dangerous person. If he has a history, and see, you keep dropping little pieces of information, cluster headaches, morphine, suicide attempts, knives. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a good situation. Be her advocate and do everything you can, because in 10 years she could make a choice, or less, she could make a choice to come live with you.
All right. Glad you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, call us before you end up in a situation that is kind of unmanageable or out of control. We want to help you in the beginning stages of all of this. So call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We need your support, too. Oh, do we need your support. We want to be able to handle calls like this, and the only way we can is if we have your support at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yes, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham and brain knowledge beyond anything anybody could ever hope.
And smart.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I just found out, Steve, we have a kung fu master among us. I didn't know that. I was just telling him after that last caller, it's hard. We get these calls, and that was like, oh, it's intense. And I said, yeah. I said, you did an amazing job of just triage, like coming in mm-hmm. as a protector and just giving really good direction, because that's what you need in those moments. And he goes, well, that's because I'm a kung fu master, you know. So we were singing, everybody goes kung fu, you know, we did all this thing, but I didn't know that about him, you know.
Yeah, well, I think Mylon, I have to ask you to bring yourself down a notch and tell her about the incident.
I heard
I
already.
I did tell her all
sorry,
about
I didn't mean to yell in the mic.
Well, see, that's
I heard
how
about
he is.
The knife that he cut his hand with.
Yeah. Cut himself with. And they
Steve.
Heard him saying, the show must
go on. Yeah, that's right. As the blood was
fantastic.
Well, just for the listener, I was practicing with some swords and I poked myself. So, I mean, you know, that's always embarrassing. But that happens. You know, when you get sharp things, pointy things flinging around in the air, you got to duck sometimes and you hit yourself. So. That's one of the jokes. You know, you turn on YouTube or funniest home videos and a guy with a nunchuck swinging around, bang, and he hits himself. That's common.
Yeah. We'll have to see you on YouTube someday.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Mr. Kevin in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah. Okay, I guess. My question is, there's been some infidelity in my marriage with my wife.
Okay. How long have you been married?
And, 12 years. Oh. And there's infidelity about 3.5 years that I know of. We're still together. But I don't know if I should stay in the marriage or not, you know, being that the Bible says that, you know, if any infidelity, there's grounds for a divorce. But, you know, I do have a kid, and it scares me to leave the kids.
Sure. Well, where are you with your thoughts about her and the future direction of your life?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think there is still some love there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know the care is there because she is the mother of the kid.
Right.
Is it a son or daughter?
I got two daughters and two stepkids.
Okay.
So, and I also love my stepkids, and I know it will tear them apart because they've already gone through one divorce.
And why did they have to go through a divorce? What was it in your wife?
She was previously married. She was purely previously married. She said, she told me that she didn't love him.
Okay.
And that's why they got divorced. And now with me, well, I don't know.
She's probably saying
she loves me. She tells me she loves me sometimes. Other times, she just, you know, say she cares because I'm the father of our kid. And so I'm mixed in my emotions, and I don't know where to go from. And we go to church, we did the spiritual counseling, didn't turn out so good, she wanted to quit, and then we went to a secular counselor out that, you know, was, but that also, like, we would go and she wouldn't even be there in the same room. She was...
All right. Tell us, where is she? What is her state of mind? Is she wanting this thing to work out, or is she, like you said, you did counseling, she wasn't even there?
Yeah. Well, she tells me she does.
Does she go to counseling?
That I feel that, I don't know, because also the person she had the affair with, he was also married. That ended up in the divorce, and they worked together.
Kevin, this might just be a real big leap on my part, so forgive me if I don't leap in the right direction, but what was your home life like? Did you have kind of a disconnected family?
Yeah, with my dad, I was more closer to my mom. My dad was always working, and I think I've pretty much taken his trademark. I am truck driver over the road. But, you know, I also want to provide everything for my kids.
Right, right. And the reason I'm asking that, just kind of sitting with you here in the moment, I get this sense once of just exasperation. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know what needs to happen to fix this. And just kind of frustration, making attempts, but having nothing work out so far. So I hear that. And the other thing I hear, though, is I just hear almost like a kind of a disconnected heart. And I don't know how to say this. I want to be gentle, but honest, but it just feels, you know, it's like I got my kid and I got my wife and I got my, it's kind of disconnected. So from people, you know, I don't know. I'm just intuiting something, but it makes me wonder if that might be something that happened, that you kind of are more of a disconnected soul and not quite sure how to connect and engage in relationship, and you're on the road a lot. And you got a lot of responsibility. You're a good provider. But as far as relationship connection, not so much. Practice there. Would you say that's true?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so, go ahead.
The what let's say you hit the
nail on the head. Yeah.
Nail on the head, yes.
Okay. And I appreciate that. And thank you for hearing me, you know, because, you know, we want to be caring and loving, but give you good feedback. It just, it feels to me like that may be underlying, right? Underlying what your wife was missing in your marriage. I am in no way saying what she did is right. Her infidelity is wrong, okay? And she has not really walked into responsibility to fix it. But sometimes with disconnected folks that are more disconnected from their heart, you kind of sit with them and it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot that's there. It's kind of like there's a flatness or a deadness or an ambivalence. They don't really move towards the relationship. They don't even know how to connect very well. And so I would really encourage you to do some personal work right now to get in and to get in a men's group where you can start just saying, hi, you know, I'm Kevin, and someone just told me that I'm kind of disconnected from my heart, and I don't know where to go with it. How do I learn how to get more connected with my emotions in relationships? Okay. So that...
What do you think?
Huh?
What do you think about that?
Yes, that's very surprising. Very helpful information that I do need to do. I have been listening to your show for quite a bit of years, and I have been trying to connect with her after all this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to have work with the marriage.
Good.
Trying to talk to her, but also, she don't seem to be opening up to me, and I guess maybe because of so many years that I have been closed down.
Yeah.
And not trying to connect with her, then...
Okay, well, Kevin, Sherry's helped you identify your part, and I think that's important for you to focus on. And I would come to your wife and say, you know, I realize I have been emotionally disconnected from you, and I want to work on me. But your wife also has a history now of breaking up marriages and not making good choices, and your wife has to work on herself as well. And so it's always nice when you can walk in and say, this is my part. Now, how about your part? Is there a chronic longing for connection? And her history, like Sherry identified your history, her history would tell us why her longing for connection is turned up on high. And she needs to work on that. You guys are opposites. You're low, she's high.
All right. Hope that's helpful. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And what if, after listening all this time to New Life, what if we were here for you? What if the reason our program is here is because you need to get some help? It just might be that. So call us and let us see if we can give you some help if you're struggling in any area. And, of course, we've got our New Life Weekend coming up in July. It's on Healing is a Choice, where we can take our wounds and we can grieve them, we can move beyond them. It's an amazing time, and I hope you'll join us for the New Life Weekend. All right, our final caller is Teresa from Columbia, Maryland. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you?
Well, I'm wondering if you can help me in terms of repairing my relationship with my 19-year-old son.
Okay, what happened?
Well, he just finished his first year of college and just come home for the summer, so he was away for the first year. But it has been a gradual progression of anger, and I noticed it a little bit about the middle of the eighth grade, some signs, but then I noticed it really more pronounced beginning in the 10th grade. And it seems to have increased every year and gotten worse and worse and worse. And I've tried to communicate. I tried taking him to counseling. I tried talking to him, and none of that seemed to work. None of it seemed to do any good to draw out of him what it was that he was so angry at me. It always seemed to be at me. He would be very belligerent, very verbally abusive, not foul language, but badgering and angry and snap at anything.
Well, why do you think he's angry?
Well, I now think that he's angry because I raised him from a very early, from when he was born, to be the child that I wasn't. And I think that I always viewed him as wanting the same things that I wanted as a child, and therefore expected his reactions to be the same as my reactions would have been.
Okay. And so how did you react then when his reactions weren't what you wanted?
Well, I would act frustrated or irritated, or I was never a spanker, but or hitter,
frustrated.
I feel like he saw the look in my face, he heard the tone, he
yeah.
saw the
frustrated and irritated.
I yelled a lot.
Yeah, they're nice words for anger.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever said to him, "I've been thinking, and I realize that when you were growing up, this is what I did"?
Very recently, it was hard to say it to him face to face because he always cuts me off with mm-hmm. whatever conversation it is. So I sat down, I wrote a letter. And I said to him what I just said to you, basically, and I wrote it late at night, slipped it under his door, and he came into my room, and wasn't asleep yet, but he said, "Mom," and he put his arms around me, and he gave me a big hug, and he said, "I love you," and I really felt like I had broken through for the first time.
But see, Teresa, what were you trying to give him? We haven't established that. What were you trying to give him? Attentiveness?
In terms of saying that in a letter or...
No. What were you trying to give him? We're saying he reacted to something. And what was it you were trying to do that you didn't get as a child? What were you trying to give him?
Well, I was always trying to give him the attention that I didn't think that I got.
Okay, now may I ask you a question? Did you give him too much attention? Is he responding to you being too close, too much attention, too attentive, and then he pushes you away, he gets frustrated because you're too close, and then you get hurt that, and you get angry that he doesn't want you so close?
Yes, probably all of that is
okay.
True.
So what that is you are a hyper-vigilant person. You're trying to be too close, which means you don't let him have the room to get away. One of the things that developmentally a child needs to do is, if we're a secure parent, we have to be able to let the child leave us. And it sounds like it was hard for you to let him leave you, and so you'd pursue him or want to stay close. And any child is going to get angry if a parent hangs on to them too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so... That's the important part, is to really help him understand what you were doing and to realize that I was trying to be too close and I couldn't let you detach from me. I couldn't let you differentiate from me.
That your motives were
your motives
good
were to
motives.
Try to do something good, but you realized you overcompensated, and no wonder he's angry.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're right. I agree with you. But now I feel it's almost like he feels like a stranger. He's been, for so many of the past few years, unwilling to talk about most things because he doesn't trust how... I think he always thinks that I have another agenda if I ask him who his friends are, where he's going.
Well, and you do have your agenda is to keep him close, to keep him safe, and to keep him near you. That's the agenda, because you experienced the opposite. You were neglected and left alone and not paid enough attention to. So you were doing an opposite thing, and he's saying that's too much. And so you're right. He will pull away from you. Which is why, how do I reconcile with my son? I need to go to counseling myself and figure out why I was so, I'm going to use a couple of words here, clingy and needy that he's now reacting to. I have to be able to define that for him in order to reestablish a new normalized relationship for adulthood. He's an adult now, and his separation bothers you.
Well, I am in counseling, and
ask him. Okay. Ask them to address that issue specifically in counseling. I wish we had more time, but we are out of time. Teresa, let me send you How We Love. It's Mylon's book, and I hope that you will enjoy that book. God bless you there. All of you, hey, thanks for listening today. We really appreciate it. We love getting to be here with you every single weekday. We want to stay here with you, and the only way we can, of course, is if you support the program. So please, if you've never supported us, would you mind finally saying maybe what you've thought about doing for a long time, finally say, okay, I'm going to support these people. We would really appreciate it, and we'll be able to stay on the air. And all you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you don't have much, we have a Widow's Mite program that we love to have people members of. We have Club New Life, which is a minimum of $30 a month. And then we have our regular givers, who maybe it's a one-time gift or a regular gift. But we have some wonderful people who have determined that this ministry is worthy of staying on the air. If you're one of those people, but you've just never picked up the phone, you've just never done what you really, really wanted to do or thought you should do, do it now, please. Call us right now. Pick up that phone, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and give us a call. Or you can give at newlife.com. Thank you, Mylon, so much. And thank you, Sherry, so much. And thanks to all of you who listen and support us. We love you. We care about you, and we'll look forward to seeing you right here again next time on New Life Live. God bless you. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.